You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Thank you for being here. Please share our programming with your friends, your family, your neighbors. Tell everyone about it. You're listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp
and Duke Gomez-Shemp
on 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. You can also find all of our past shows on kpppfm.com. I want to start off by telling you that tonight we're going to be focusing on Bridges to Bertie Gutierrez. As you know, her organization is called Bridges of Love Across Borders, and I've touched on it. I'm looking at all of the folks. I am looking at the groups connected to funding, supporting, working closely with Pueblos Sin Fronteras, the focus of an investigation by the United States in conjunction with Mexico, in conjunction with Interpol on human trafficking. That's what we know. We also know that there has been a list that the Homeland Security and Border Patrol and other agencies, including the FBI, are looking at, possibly because they are under investigation. Many of them are connected to Pueblos Sin Fronteras as well. So I'm going to break some of these things down for you. We've already been looking at this stuff for a long time. If you are new to this show, if you have not seen us before, this is where you can find out and get educated. I want to thank everyone for all of the hard work that they put in on research and sending me information and on supporting us here at A Mexican Crossing Lines and our work here at KPPPLP. Thank you very much to everyone. Duke, how can folks get at us?
Well, hello there, people. thank you for doing all you do. The people that watch us, the people who send us information. Boy, I got a lot of stuff today. I mean, been through it all, you know, and some of it, Cindy's been getting things all day long, too. And I know people are watching. These subject matters are very important to people. We've been able to spread this around the country and around the world because we're doing Facebook Lives. Now, we're traditionally a nonprofit radio station here in the Fargo and Moorhead community. And we do a combination of things in the community, and then we do these live streams, and we take the audios from the live streams and we make them into radio programs so people in this community can hear them and also go to the website to actually watch them. So if you want to get a hold of us, you can do a call-in line, leave a message with us at 701-566-0917, 701-566-0917. I'm sorry I didn't check it today, so if you called yesterday, your message is still there. I'll listen tonight when we're done with the show. You can tweet us at @media_PPP. You can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke, at kpppfm.com. And you can follow Cindy's public page on Facebook by going to @CindyGoChimp. And you can find us, our radio station, on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project and Mexi-Can. Also, kpppfm.com is our main website. I do have all the shows up there now. So we take our live streams and we put them on YouTube. You go to Duke1517 on YouTube to subscribe. Hit the little bell so when these shows go up on YouTube, you'll know they're there. They'll be in high definition. That also allows people that don't have Facebook or don't go on Facebook to watch our shows. The comments are scrolling on the screen, so it makes it really good. At kpppfm.com. You can find the shows and the audio formats and the links from the show. So if you want to kind of check some of our work, you can go see the original stuff we took it from. And also, when you're on a page, kpppfm.com, go to kpppfm.com/donate, because we are a nonprofit, non-commercial, community-run radio station. Every dollar is donated to us. We put to good use, and we thank all of you who have been supporting us these several years we've been here. We've had a small grant contributions from some foundations, and we've had a lot of support from our listeners and watchers like you. So I'd like to thank you all for doing that, and please go there and make a donation so we can continue to do the programming that we're bringing you tonight.
Yes, please do that. Duke, I wanted to ask you to put in one more image.
Okay, I don't have any of the stuff open to get images, so.
So if I send it to you on Messenger, could you put it in?
I could. I have to open up that, yes.
Is that a thing you could do for me?
Yeah, I can do that.
And I know you're thinking, what in the heck is it, right? But it's very important, actually. is what it is. So I think we need to have it in. And I just wanted to show because it comes from the pastor's page.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I am now sending it to you in Messenger. Is this a good way? Is that how you want it?
It's the only way I can get it right now.
That's good. Okay. I got it. I got you. I got you. So let me tell you what it is that I am sending you. It is an image from Pastor Alberto. here you go. Pastor Albert's Facebook page that he posted. Okay. And I'm getting that. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to the audience so that they know what it is. From Pastor Albert's Facebook page, he posted this and sent it to me as well. He sent me the link. He sent me the information. And he let the congregation and the people in the town know, in Tijuana know. This is Pastor Albert, the pastor I interviewed, about the kidnapping of a boy named Carlos by a group of activists in the Caravan Support Network Facebook page group. Okay? Same people that are being investigated, right? And it turns out that Pastor Albert also talked to me about Al Otro Lado, one of the other, when on that list, you've got people from the Caravan Support Network that were involved in this kidnapping of this kid. And also you have a lawyer from Al Otro Lado, we know of Nicole Ramos being on that list, right? A group that this pastor, same pastor, has accused of being involved in marrying people in Mexico. They're United States citizens, by the way. I just want to remind folks that the lawyers from Al Otro Lado are practicing law without a license in Mexico. And they're marrying people in Mexico. But the people that are getting married in Mexico are not from Mexico. They're from Central America. They're not there on, you know, they're there on humanitarian visas, those that have them. But this is something being alleged that is happening right now. And what is happening is that this pastor has said that this group is giving people this advice to use these marriage certificates, which are not valid in Mexico. They're not valid anywhere because they're not really registered. They can't be because they don't fulfill the requirements to get married. They're having folks sign essentially affidavits stating that they are already married in another country, in Honduras, in their country of origin, and then telling them to use this for their asylum claim, which would be fraud. So these folks, this is what this pastor is alleging. And now he messages on his Facebook page that there is a senator and a legislator coming to the United States, coming from the United States to the Agape shelter to speak on the topic of immigrants here in Mexico. And then he puts in the email that he received from the American consulate. It says, "Hello, Pastor Rivera. Thank you for the confirmation of the visit of Senator Jeff Merkley and the Representative Lou Correa of the Congress of the United States of America. This delegation from the United States will be in Tijuana, as well as members of Senator Jeff Merkley's team, his employees, the people he works with. This is to confirm the visit to your shelter on Sunday, the 17th of March at 1 to 2 p.m. This is the address to your shelter, Agape Mission Mundial, 2nd Arnaiz, 2nd Street, Arnaiz, number 6013. Nueva Aurora, section of town, south, 22604, Tijuana. This is your cellular phone number, and then it gives his cell. And then it's signed by a woman named Genevieve Judon Jourdain, Vice Consul, Consulate, General Consulate of the United States in Mexico, Baja California. Okay, this was posted. And then if you scroll down on the post, you'll notice that somebody comments on his Facebook page, "Oh, wow, what a great and marvelous announcement." So,
wow, that's really very,
don't you think it's incredible, Duke? What do you think about this?
Well, that he's getting that sort of attention, you know, for the work he's doing and the shelter. He's been doing this work for many, many years. Well, you've talked to him several times. He's been on the show. We've covered a lot of the things he's done. And for him to get the American politicians coming down, I think they want to get to the root of some things, to get to the truth of some things. So I think it's an incredible opportunity for him. You know, his shelter has been, you know, basically feeding and housing people, you know, since his caravan started, and well before that, too. He's been running a shelter for a long time. But he's also been caught in the middle of the American activists who have come down to try to trip him up and involve him in different things that are actually working against his true mission's cause. So I think it's really interesting that he's getting some politicians that are going to come down. And it's official. I mean, it's officially, he put it out. The reason we're reporting this is because he put it out publicly. So it's there for everyone to see. So he's showing that this is an important event, you know, for them to be, hosting these politicians. So I think it's, you know, we'll see what happens with it, you know, but I think that he's putting it out there, so it must be something very important for us to know about.
Yes, yes. And it will be very interesting to see what comes out of it, too. We know that he is an incredible source of information about what's going on with the caravans, and I would be curious to see how Senator Merkley receives that information. Or if they discuss it, even. I wonder what the focus of the discussions will be.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting, though. Also, getting back to the topic at hand, because all of these things are connected, though. Today's show, Bridges to Britty Gutierrez, starts us off with her organization and what it is connected to. You know that Bridges of Love Across Borders was taking donations over the border, right?
Yeah.
And you knew that they were taking these donations primarily to the people resisting going to the main shelter for, run by the Mexican people and the Mexican government, El Barretal, the permanent or more permanent shelter after the Benito Juarez was, you know, basically rained out and people had to leave there.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke about how this act of kindness, which many people had for those who stayed in the street at, even though it was disrupting the businesses, and even though it was disrupting people going to school, it was disrupting traffic in that area. It was causing, a trash problem. There was people literally defecating and urinating in the streets. It was bad. It was not a good thing. It was really, really bad. People still felt the need to go out there and feed those people, mm-hmm. and get them food. And the Mexican people were doing it too, but they were also like noticing that these American activists were encouraging them to break the law, break the rules, essentially really tick people in authority off in Mexico, all while those folks that remained in resistance against going to the state-run shelter were bad-mouthing the help or the lack of help they claimed they were getting from the Mexican people and authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became this very contentious, very disrespectful scenario where literally the Mexican people were being pitted against the caravan and vice versa. I showed you last night in my last show that even in the groups of activists that and organizations that were involved, particularly in the WhatsApp conversations they were having around the kidnapping of the child named Carlos, was that they were talking about how disruptive these activists were, how they were seen violating the law in Mexico, using drugs with the migrants at the shelter. They corroborate what the pastor told us these activists were doing, in addition to kidnapping an unaccompanied minor, which was giving drugs to the migrants. They also corroborate that the whole resistance thing that was happening out there in front of Benito Juarez, in front of the warehouse, inside the warehouse, was a bad look, bad for the migrants, ultimately a waste of time and resources and money, etc., etc., etc. Did that dissuade from these groups working together? Did it stop them? Even though they saw the product and acknowledged the damage that this was doing in their own comments in that post, in that WhatsApp conversation, did that stop them from continuing down this road, from continuing to work with the same irresponsible, dangerous people committing crimes, practicing the law in a country that isn't their own, giving out legal advice that isn't just bordering on unethical, but possibly being investigated as part of a larger crimes? No, I don't think it did. I think it they continued to work with each other. And I think the reason for this high level of incompetence and combined with don't give a flippity is intentional, because these people are astroturfing an issue they know very little about. Most of these organizations popped out of nowhere, and the people that are, you know, that have spent their lifetimes working in these areas, myself included, we can tell. We're like, why are you at the forefront of a conversation you just got involved in a few years ago? You popped up out of nowhere as, you know, this whole issue was ramping up and becoming more of a problem. With your hand out, of course, to get at the front of the line, not only to be an authority on the topic, but also to demand that you get paid for your lack of skill, knowledge, and competence in an area. I've showed you that's true of the lawyers working with Al Otro Lado, many of whom do not have a background in immigration law whatsoever. And a lot of the volunteers and volunteer lawyers that are working on this issue that have jumped in to help these organizations, many of them legal organizations, also most of them do not have backgrounds specifically in immigration law. And it's one of the most tough types of law. So we need to examine more closely again and again and again who those groups that are closely aligned with Pueblos Sin Fronteras, that main group, are. And how do they connect to each other? How are they working with each other? Because they are. They definitely don't want you to think so, but they are. And it's not just a group of organizations and nonprofits. It's that's other types of groups, like By Any Means Necessary. It's groups that are, you know, Sin Fronteras groups. It's also groups associated with non-denominational or interfaith clergy, doing activism, moonlighting as activists.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole bunch of different, groups associated with politicians, with political campaigns, with environmental campaigns, all sorts of things. All sorts of very, very interesting things. In this caravan, there is the same kind of mix that we saw of organizations, groups, and people, including media people, working in tandem together to put out this very theatrical performance that has all of these moving parts, right? And Birdie is one of those connector people. Birdie is connected to all of these other people. So we have to keep looking at Birdie and Birdie's organization, Bridges of Love Across Border, but we also have to look at the other stuff that she's involved with. Like Mark Lane and her took almost all of their donations to a shelter that they're really running themselves in Mexico called the Caritas Shelter. And here is a video posted by Jeannie Wong, one of the people that also reoccurs with all of these folks, Minority Humanitarian Foundation, the people connected to Al Otro Lado and Birdie Gutierrez and, you know, all those people. And that is going to, this was posted on her page, going to take donations to Caritas Shelter. This is a place where we saw all of these Standing Rock phonies like Evan Duke and Wiaka Eagleman. Everybody went to Caritas because they run it. It's like their, it's like Enclave Caracol. It's their turf in Mexico where they can call the shots because the businesses are run or owned or, you know, they have, it's friendly location. Because in other places, when they're pulling these stunts, it ain't cool. It ain't cool with the locals, right? So they have to have turf there to run this network on both sides of the border. Caritas Shelter is a place. Here's her video, Jeannie Wong's video.
Okay, for those of you who are just listening on there, they're showing groceries, they're showing snapshots of people's faces.
Jeannie with kids, Jeannie with donations.
Jeannie with kids. Jeannie with kids, little children. Smiling faces, children smiling, little child at the playground, adults, parents waiting in line, milk, bags, groceries, open bins, more groceries, children, children smiling, another child smiling, tomatoes, fresh produce, potatoes, meat, grocery shop, grocery carts full of things, bins, boxes, little boy that's happy, families that are happy.
You know what they call this? It's poverty porn.
Yeah, it's poverty porn.
That's what they call it. And you know, I've shown you time and time again that they take pictures with these folks. They have GoFundMes. They raise and raise and raise and raise a lot of money. And there's no accountability for where it goes and what they do with it. Same thing that happened at Standing Rock. I'm not saying they're not using some of it to help actual migrants in the caravan. I'm saying there's no accountability for the money, for where it goes. There's no accountability. And even if it's going to the migrants, look how they use that to manipulate a group of people that were shutting down the border, costing both countries millions of dollars. In losses. They're shutting down commerce within that street, that within that neighborhood. They were causing huge costs in cleanup everywhere they weren't in Mexico, pretty much. I could go on. We've talked about it before. Point is that all of it, if you start adding it up, when you realize, as Mexicans and Mexico does, as many Americans understand and also know, that most of these people are not going to be granted asylum. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just being factual here. The criteria for requesting asylum is very, very high. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Right now, the percentage of people who apply for asylum and are given asylum is about 3% of those that apply. 3%. I've shown you video of Lolly B, one of the people going around giving legal advice, probably received directly from Al Otro Lado, because I told you she posts about Al Otro Lado and she says, these are the lawyers we work with. So that's who's giving them information. And they're telling them, It is your right to request asylum. It is your right to request it from the other side of the border. We're not helping you go inside of the United States illegally, but it's your right. It is your right. Yeah. Totally, totally, totally true. All of it. They don't tell them the part where they're going to fill the detention centers with these folks. Whose agenda is that helping? The private prison industry. That's who it's helping. And they don't tell them how long they'll be stuck in there. They don't tell them that more likely than not, they will be separated from their kids. They will have to go undergo DNA tests. There's going to be a lot of things that happen in the detention facilities they don't like. Some of it could even be very abusive. Because those private prisons and private facilities are not run very well. You know?
Plus, they've been told. It's not that what they're not telling them. It's these people have been told way before they even started their trek through Mexico that they were going to get into the United States and be able to receive asylum. They were told they were going to be able to go to Canada. They were be able to go to all sorts of countries. And, it's lies. And what they're doing is perpetuating the lies. And here, I can plug you in. Just hold on. And so it's not that they're not telling them stuff. It's really about stuff they've already been told and what they're perpetuating for them to continue to believe.
Yeah. And it's cruel. I believe it's not just unethical, bordering on, and I suppose if these people are being investigated, we'll find out eventually, but it's cruel, incredibly cruel to give somebody hope like that, to bring them. And many of these people were just left stranded. Stranded in Mexico along the way. Thousands of people have been left stranded. And who has to clean up all that mess? Mexico.
Yep.
And again, this is all while people within the caravan are coached to lie about the Mexican treatment that they've been getting, lie about the Mexican authorities. And I will tell you something. It is truly upsetting. They've had a really hard time. And in Mexico, the migrant caravans that are being told and put up to these shenanigans, because they're talking to folks in the media and they're being asked, hey, how are you being treated right now? How are things here at this shelter that you're at or whatever? And almost 100% of the time, they say, the people of Mexico have treated us very well, even the ones that I've showed you that complained about something. So they're very, they're writing a two-edged sword here. What these folks are doing is incredibly destructive to the relationship between Central America and Mexico. It is destructive to the economies of both the United States and Mexico. It is destructive to the lives of the people that are left stranded. I mean, these are so many people. And the cost of all of this, that will most likely result in the majority of these folks being told after a year, after 2 years, after 3 years, most of it that they won't even be eligible to work during. They won't be able to pay taxes. They won't be able to be self-sustaining. They're going to literally be dependent on somebody in this country, right? If they're not in a detention facility, which they're still dependent. And if you're sitting in a detention facility, it's costing our federal government, it's costing the government a certain amount of money to, feed and water you every day and keep you sheltered, even in the horrid conditions that they have them in those detention facilities.
Yeah.
Okay. It costs a lot of money, and all of that will be for the people making money off of that. For the people making money off of these nonprofits, off of these organizations that are helping the migrants. It's a gravy train. It's a boon for a minute. It's going to bust eventually. Y'all taxpayers are going to have to fix it and clean it up. And all these people are going to make off like bandits.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, we got our slice of the pie. I told you that's what this is all about. It's about the money. But it's not just about the money, because you know what it's also about? It's about the fame. It's about being able to say, I am a champion of human rights because I did X, Y, Z. And it's really sad that these are the people that get to represent the hard work of helping immigrants and refugees that many people, I include myself among those people, have done for as long as I have been a working adult. Estela Jimenez is a woman that is very closely connected to Bertie Gutierrez. She is featured here in a photograph with Shane Parmalee. And this that's the woman with the braids that we've shown you in the past, the blonde hair.
Oh, yeah, I remember her.
Bertie's in the middle there. And then Estela is all the way to the right. That's Estela Jimenez. I showed you her before, but we're going to take a deeper dive into who she is. She is from Mexico. Here, she's from Tijuana. Okay. Here is a post of an event Bertie was going to. And in the tags of this post by Bertie, you will see a lot of people, but there's Estela Jimenez right there, mm-hmm. right above Jeannie Wong. Oh, wait, was Jeannie Wong the one that was delivering
the groceries? Yes.
Donations?
Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. that one. You'll see these same people over and over again. Who else is there? Jake Lee Harris. He's on the list. Remember? Mm-hmm. They questioned him at least. He's one of the people that was questioned. Wiaka Eagleman. He's from the Caravan Support Network mm-hmm. with Errol Medicine. He's one of the people working with these folks, right? Who else is on here? Monica Cortez. We see again, right? Mm-hmm. And then Marco Octavio Rafael. Amaral Valencia. If you go down further, you'll see you got Mohammed M. El Nakib. Mohammed from the San Diego Rapid Response Network, who works with Mark Lane. There's Shane Parmalee, the lady that was in the other picture with mm-hmm. Bertie Gutierrez, the one with the braids. There's Vivian Farmery, one of the people that posts frequently. I think she's one of the admins on the Caravan Support Network. And then, of course, if you keep going down further, you'll see there's Mark Lane. Yeah. There's Arihar Norvar, mm-hmm. the writer of the article in Teen Vogue that I showed you, where a lot of these folks appear, right? The fix is in, folks. The fix is in.
I guess.
They have it all set up. They all work together, and they move together, okay? Mm-hmm. Here is a picture of Bertie Estela. Well, it's not a picture of Bertie and Estela. It's from Bertie and Estela's. Estela Jimenez is tagged in this photo taken by Bertie Gutierrez or vice versa on their Facebook page. It is a picture. You can see it looks dark.
Yeah.
It is a picture of the people that were sleeping on the street outside of Benito Juarez.
I see.
And they're handing out raincoats. You can see a lot of those people are wearing like rain ponchos and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're handing out tarps, they're handing out blankets because people were sleeping outside and it was raining and it was cold.
That's right.
Do you remember
that sure time? I sure do.
And you can see this is at night. So this wasn't happening at El Barretal. This was happening at Benito Juarez, outside Benito Juarez. And if you scroll to the bottom, you will see Bertie is tagged with Estela Jimenez. Okay? Mm-hmm. Can you see where this was taken? Does it say? No. How about at the top? Or no. On the right?
No.
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
No. But it was taken at Benito Juarez. Outside of Benito Juarez, excuse me. And then the next picture I wanted to show you is of another woman, Leti Herrera. This woman in the front with the brown blouse sitting in the chair in front of everyone. This is from her Facebook page. And Leti is another one of the people closely associated with Bertie Gutierrez that I had shown you before. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you go to the next, this is a small amount, one part of the friends list for this woman, Leti Herrera. You can see there's, can you make it smaller anyway?
Yeah, hard to read, but.
Well, I suppose I could read it for you. I could read it for you. But let me find it.
You can sit there. You can read it off screen, can't you?
Yes, I can. Well, let me see. None of those are the one I wanted to look at, so go down. There's Estela Jimenez right there. You see her?
Mm-hmm.
So Leti and her are friends on Facebook. You can see that. And if you go to her friends list, Leti Herrera's friends list on Facebook yourself, and I can give you the link for you to go look for yourself. There's Jeannie Wong.
Mm-hmm.
There's Nicole Ramos of Al Otro Lado. There's Mason Bobby Leonard, the person Orlando Cruz is flying drones with at the camp right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's Mark Lane of Minority Humanitarian Foundation. There's Vivian Farmery from the Caravan Support Network. Lolly B from the Caravan Support Network. Also, previously, Standing Rock Phony. There's Muhammad El Naki from the San Diego Rapid Response Network.
Mm-hmm.
There's Bertie Gutierrez of Bridges of Love Across Borders. Okay, the list goes on. Monica Cortez. You keep going down her friends lists, and it is a who's who of who are on these lists.
Oh, I see.
Who are in these groups, working in these organizations that are working closely with Pueblos Sin Fronteras, currently under investigation.
Yeah.
You have, so Leti is another, Arihar Norvar is her friend as well, the writer. I'm quickly scrolling through her friends list, looking for more people. I think Jesse Sandoval is on here too.
Oh yeah, she's right there on her screen.
Oh, there's Jesse Sandoval. I was right. Mm-hmm. Who else is on there, Duke? Why don't you read the ones you can see on screen, on yours?
Well, we already went through them.
All of them?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. People I know anyways. She's someone I recognize.
Yeah.
Veronica Gonzalez. Christian Alaracion.
Lilith Sinclair is on her friends list.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And who else do you have, Duke?
Nah. I can't read it. It's too small.
Is it too tiny? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you asked me to make it smaller.
I'm sorry.
And now I can read it. Maria Teresa Rique. Giovanna Sid. I don't know who these people are. Zara Gonzalez Rodriguez Georgette.
Okay, these are not people associated with the network, though.
No, but the one I saw at the bottom, though, was Jesse Sandoval.
Yeah,
so I brought it up.
Yeah, Jesse Sandoval is on that friends list. She was the one that started the Pueblo Exodo page for the migrants in the caravan. She was one of the people traveling with the caravan within Mexico. So was Myron Dewey. So was David Gaskin. So these folks are connected to the same people that are traveling with the caravans, that are helping fund the caravans. There's Estela Jimenez again in the friends list here. Then Jana Stone. Remember Jana Stone? One of the people that was doing disaster relief in Puerto Rico that was connected to all of the activists that from Standing Rock that were out there, Duke?
Mm-hmm.
Jana Stone is on her friends list, too.
Okay.
This woman, Leti, from Mexico.
Hmm.
From Mexico. She's got all of these people connected to the Caravan Support Network on her friends list.
Wow.
She only has 300 and some friends total.
Really?
Yeah, total. She has less friends than my 70-some-year-old dad. His friends. I'm serious. I'm like,
wow.
This lady don't have no friends, and a lot of her friends are people in these groups. That's interesting. And of course, one of those people, of course, is Estela Jimenez, right? Now I want to show you Mark Lane posting and tagging Estela Jimenez, the same woman. He tags Estela and also Bertie, and he also tags, and this is his post about getting the little girl from in the wheelchair with muscular dystrophy and her father into the United States. Remember, Al Otro Lado helped to get them into the United States, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, boom, we did it. They took Leslie and her father. They're being processed for asylum as we speak. I'm not going to lie. I cried big tears watching Juan accomplish his dream for his daughter. This is a group. This is a father and daughter, a pair that they were filming, following all the way since Central America. The same group of people. Remember how they marked Javi's tent with Occupy ICE?
Yep.
Okay, so who are in the tags? Yolanda Celine, Weathermead, Zoe Winkler. That's from We Are Humanity, Zoe Winkler. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. The group that was promoting Minority Humanitarian Foundation, which is Mark Lane's organization. Then you have Elsa Marie Collins, Nadia Macias, Bertie Gutierrez, mm-hmm. Estela Jimenez, Julia Peter, Canelli, and James Alaya. Mm-hmm. Remember? He's one of the people that works with Mark Lane and Minority Humanitarian Foundation's board. Like, one of them is the president, okay. One's vice president or whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They're all there. They're all there. They're all tagged in this post together. Then you have, and he's saying, we did it. Bridges of Love Across Borders, Estela Jimenez. And then, of course, you have Bertie with Octavio. Remember Octavio? Sorry, that's not what I meant. We have Octavio Aguilar tagged, and we also have Estela Jimenez. There's Estela Jimenez.
Okay.
And she tags, this is from their Bridges of Love Across Borders page, and she's thanking them for taking donations to the family seeking asylum. And she said she appreciates all the volunteers, every one of the donors and supporters, and she asks for their support through PayPal and her Amazon wish list. There she is. And in the picture next to that one, you can see, keep going. There's the donations. There's Bertie, and she's tagged with Estela Jimenez. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then next, we have Estela and Bertie. She's carrying donations. Once again, there's Estela. She's wearing the blue shirt and sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And if you see what page is posted from, it's Bertie Gutierrez's page. And there she is tagged in the picture. Okay? So they work very closely together, right? Mm-hmm. Bertie, this is a Mexican woman living in Tijuana. Once again.
Yes.
Very important. Very important. Mm-hmm. They have these networks. Bertie and Estela here are pictured at an event with the priest that Pastor Albert Rivera told us about, Father Solalinde. He's the one with the white striped shirt in the back there.
Okay.
The glasses standing up, that guy right there is Father Solalinde, the one that was going from state to state with the migrants, according to my interview with Agape Shelter Mission, World Mission leader. Mm-hmm. Pastor Albert Rivera, he said that this man was at first working with Pueblos Sin Fronteras and that he was helping the migrants get from the southern border to the northern border, negotiating rides so that they wouldn't be a burden on each state that they were passing through and basically kick the can up north for someone else to deal with.
Yep.
But as you've seen more recently, he's been quoted as saying that Pueblos Sin Fronteras are an unscrupulous organization, mm-hmm. and he doesn't want to have any association with them any further. He also rescinded his support of the migrant protesters, with American activists puppeting their actions that happened outside of Benito Juarez with that shelter.
Okay.
You remember that, dude?
Oh, I sure do.
Here they are. It looks like they're in a restaurant. And Padre Solalinde is pictured with another group of people eating. If you move it to the right, you'll see there's more people there. There's a guy with that green shirt. Mm-hmm. He's going to appear in some photos. And let's see who's tagged in this photo. You've got Estela Jimenez again. So she's at this thing, right?
Yeah.
And Felix Garcia. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go to the next picture where they're still at this. This is a Manuel Ocano. This is from another person's page. This man, we'll look into, we'll take a deeper dive some other day on him specifically. But I want you to look at what it says on his page, okay? This is what he posted, and there's a picture. You want to describe the picture real quick, Duke?
Okay, I blew it up so it's really hard to see. There's a bunch of people behind a barrier of slats, and then there's some sort of official officer. Border Patrol, with a helmet and other stuff in his hand, walking alone on the other side. But all the people through the barrier are just looking, and it looks like a lot of brown people.
Okay, it says, what do you think that this Latino patrolman is thinking about as he denies parishioners the right to come up to the wall and pray? What do you think that this Border Patrol agent has going through his mind as he is preventing parishioners from praying together at the border? And a woman in the comments below says, traitor to his country.
Oh.
And Manuel says, and to our culture. And another woman says, did you notice that he was walking like he had a limp? And Manuel says, as if his heart was hurting. And there's Estela Jimenez.
Ah.
And she says, no, Manuel. His heart isn't hurting. As if to say, he doesn't have a heart.
Yeah.
She says, what makes you think he would have pain in his heart? The check at the end of the quarter is more important to him. So they're making disparaging remarks.
Yeah.
About a border agent in the picture. And do you remember that there was Adam Elfers and Lolly B talking about this thing that happened where people were going to go up to the border and pray.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And they were going to have this action, and they wouldn't let them do this thing where they went up to the border wall and prayed together.
Yeah.
Evil. So, yeah. Of course, you know, they hype up each one of these situations and get the maximum out of them that they can. They milk them for the pain factor. These people are inhumane and evil. And the next one is another post from his page, Manuel Ocano. Ocaño is actually his name, how you pronounce it.
Okay.
And it's a bunch of people marching in a protest, as you can see. Right up front, I hope you're noticing, is an AIM flag. You see the red AIM flag with the yellow, that's an AIM flag.
Wow.
That's an AIM dude. That is an AIM patch on his jacket on the right hand side and on the left hand side at the bottom.
Exactly.
That's AIM. AIM isn't a house.
Yep.
And they have what looks like a Pueblo Sin Fronteras, or I don't know. I can't really read those flags. Anyway, in the post, Manuel says, this is at San Isidro in front of the Nation of Cumayay. They are the only ones who aren't immigrants. So this is in front of a native nation of people.
Okay.
Okay. These are Indians, he's basically saying. These are Native Americans. And they're the only ones that have the moral authority to say who can be in our country and who can't be in our country. Because they're the only ones that hear that are here that aren't immigrants. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a weird thing for this Hispanic, Latino, Mexican, I don't know what country he's from, could be Central American dude, is saying, because, and I believe this guy is also part of the press.
Okay.
Because in Mexico or Central America, I'm not really sure. Maybe in the United States, I don't know. Because I think it's weird that he's advancing this dialogue and not including himself in it. Like, they are not, like, he should be saying, we indigenous people are the only ones, if you're going to say that, I mean, right? But also, no, because there's still a thing called immigration law, and there's still laws, and this still is a country. So you can say that you feel that Native Americans or people that are First Nations to this continent should be the only ones deciding who can be here and who can't be here. And I can wish for $1 million, you know, poop in one hand and wait in the other and see which one gets you further, you know, because it's not going to happen. But anyway, in the comments of this post on his page, it says, Estela Jimenez is commenting. Very first comment is her. She says, that's right, Manuel. The true owners, they are the true owners of these lands. Again, she's not saying we are the true owners of these lands. And they. She's a Mexican. She's a Mexican, right? Mm-hmm. She says they. And then Delia says, long live the Kumai. Good job, Kumai Nation people. So there's some kind of affinity toward that. And I'm just showing you how they message, what they talk about, what propaganda they're putting forth, what their belief system is, if you want to call it that. In this next slide, I'm going to show you, well, actually, it's a video, isn't it, of Bridges' Love Across Borders member now. I did not realize Mohammed El Naqib was not just part of the San Diego Rapid Response Network, and that he was working with the Minority Humanitarian Foundation. They bleed into each other. Remember at Standing Rock when you had people that were reporting for the real progressives like Chelsea Lyons Kent and Ed Higgins were then later on Activate Now and also mixing in with Truth Against the Machine. And,
oh, yeah. They're like snake oil salesmen traveling together.
And then you had them, you know, relatives on prayers or on meth. I'm sorry. I can't remember all of them. There was a lot. But anyway, remember how all there was all this overlap, and they were like, we are not part of each other. I'm with this group, or I'm with, I'm like, nah, y'all are with each other. You all, you know, end up on each other's live streams, run each other's shows, you know? So, yeah, it was just like this, like all of these people working together. And then you see them calling themselves part of each other's organizations at different times. And then later on being like, no, we're totally separate. So here is Mohammed. Look for Mohammed El Naqib and Bertie Gutierrez in this video from NBC News about the caravan and who comes to their rescue.
The Trump administration has said it will end the catch and release practice. Under the program, migrants are released into the community while they await a hearing from an immigration court.
But ICE agents continue to do so, citing a lack of room in their detention centers. Claudia Buccio joins us with more on the crisis affecting border cities across the country. Claudia.
It's been up to community leaders and nonprofit organizations to help these immigrants stranded in a country they don't know.
Hundreds of asylum seekers released near a Greyhound station in El Paso, Texas, between December 23rd and 26th, were not given shelter, food, nor money. They were only given a mandatory court date.
You do not release people to the street. You do not release families to the street with small children. You just simply do not do that.
Usually organizations like Annunciation House are in touch with ICE. These groups help them find a place to stay. But recent changes have affected that system.
NGOs that are able and willing to receive refugees cannot release, cannot receive the numbers that ICE needs to release, that they would release them to the street.
Since Wednesday, ICE has been releasing hundreds of immigrants while informing nonprofits. Closer to home, at the San Ysidro border crossing,
some of the shelters in San Diego are basically at capacity, and so they're unable to really take in more people, and Border Patrol really has nowhere to put them. So instead of having a backup plan or somewhere where they can take them that's an emergency shelter, they basically just release them in the street.
Bridge of Love Across the Border has stepped up to help.
People have been putting them up in their homes. We've been basically helping the families figure out their method of transportation, helping them pay for their plane tickets, for their bus fares, and putting them on, helping them through TSA security.
Yesenia Morales is headed to Atlanta to meet her host family.
I feel very grateful for running into these kind people.
Activists call on leaders to fix this border crisis.
We need to have politicians be vocal, be in office, educating others and instituting policies that will affect change. And that is what's really important.
Okay. Did you see Mark Lane in there?
I missed him.
Did I see Mark Lane in there? At the end? Oh my God, I thought I saw Mark Lane walking with the woman. Mm-hmm. When they're walking.
Yeah, I was looking at her. I didn't look at the guy.
I think that was Mark Lane.
Oh, it's playing on my phone now, so I can see it now. Okay, with his back to it, but he has some red jersey on. Or...
Oh, darn it. Okay, anyway, if you think you saw Mark Lane in the video, let me know what you thought. Let me know if that was Mark Lane, if you saw Mark Lane in the video. I thought I saw Mark Lane. Anyway, I just wanted to share with you that in that clip, for those who are listening, there was Mohammed El-Nakib from the San Diego Rapid Response, who is connected to Linda Sarsour, as I've shown you. Mm-hmm. We've got Minority Humanitarian Foundation's Mark Lane, who is also connected to all the Hollywood people, and the Stay Human, or what is it called? We Are Humanity page. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's all of these other fractures, you know, Coloring Without Borders and all these other things, you know. It's a free-for-all of people raking in the cash as quickly as they possibly can off of these folks. And Bertie Gutierrez, although she was not mentioned in that news clip, was in the photos with the families. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I believe Mark Lane was in there too. I don't want to misspeak. I'm going to go watch it later and then I'll tell you if I did. But I think he was in there. And he was definitely in pictures with Mohammed El-Nakib and Bertie Gutierrez getting migrants off the streets or whatever. And I just have to stop for a minute and ask you, has there ever been a time in history that you recall, Duke, when there was a bunch of people that were let out of detention facilities that had come by the hundreds or by the thousands to the United States and then dumped out on the streets or, you know, released without having a place to shelter them and keep them for months and months at a time because they can't work while they're waiting for their asylum hearing in many cases. And even if they can, in some cases, they have to wait for months and months, sometimes 6 months before they can work. Those who can work. So have you ever heard of that? And how, when do you remember seeing anything like that?
Well, I don't remember seeing anything like that. I know of the people being released. But also you have to consider the circumstances of what's going on in this situation. This is right around December 23rd to December 26th, right at Christmas time. And they had actually so many people had come across the border, they couldn't house them. And what do you expect? These people were being told that they'd bail across right in the United States. What did they expect? That there would be apartments for them, houses for them? They
for kind free. Of,
for free, that they'd just be... Here you go. Welcome to our country. You know,
yeah, they do.
That'd be great. That'd be great if that's the way the reality was, but that's not reality at all. I think these folks inundated that border. They brought the caravan there. They figured out how to get so many people to cross in a few amount of days that it inundated the system, and the system had to let a bunch of people go. And then they got their gravy train of showing up to be the heroes to help people and to set up that they need continued funding, more funding, and all sorts of stuff, because look how terrible ICE is for just releasing people onto the street.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves.
They shouldn't be released without food or money, you know. So I suppose, okay, here's $50, you know, take a bus, you know. It's like, you know, these people were not, these organizations did not prepare for this, even though they caused this to happen. They caused this to happen just to promote themselves and to put themselves in a position to be the heroes and the receivers of all these people.
And they put you in a got you situation.
Yep.
Because as you heard, that pastor was saying, "What you can't put all these people out on the street, right? They're children with families. You can't put them out on the street. They don't have adequate clothing even. Like, how can you do that? It's inhumane." But that isn't the problem. The problem is that there is going to be more and more and more of these people that have to be treated humanely, that are being dumped in the United States without the proper infrastructure, resources, or what have you, to take on hundreds, if not thousands, of asylum claims, which I will repeat, most of which will fail.
Yeah,
most
exactly.
of which will fail. And these people are going to end up having to be deported. One of you sent me an article today. What was the calculation per month at the shelter in San Diego that was a repurposed building that they just voted on per month cost?
Well, the shelter basically over $400,000 a month of operating expenses to serve 150 people. That's about $2,666 per person per month. So the amount of money to house and feed these 150 people is, $2,666 a month. And I thought, that is horrible. That is a horrible ratio of how much money you need to take care of per person, you know. And but those are the numbers you gave me, and that's
right. It's true.
Calculator, I calculated it.
I showed it to you from the article.
Yep, and exactly.
Think about this. That's what's being spent on one shelter, and that shelter, Duke, is getting state money.
Yeah, that's right.
The rest of the shelters that have to take people in, those are not getting state money. Those are not. So how is this created, manufactured crisis of hundreds, thousands of people coming to ask for asylum? Because it isn't as if we haven't had immigration policy before. It isn't as if we didn't already have laws about crossing into our country illegally or requesting asylum. It isn't as if people haven't already gone through the process of turning themselves in, either at a border point of entry or after having crossed into this country illegally and asked for asylum and gone through the process of waiting and having their hearing and being denied or being granted asylum. We've had this going on for a long time. But it never looked like this. Why? Because it doesn't normally happen. It's almost impossible for thousands of people who claim that they're not organized or funded by anyone or transported by anyone to naturally form together, walk together, move at the great speed with the organization and networking and infrastructure within Mexico to move them at a very fast rate of speed.
Yeah.
And then get them by the thousands, by the hundreds and thousands into the United States. There has never been a mechanism for that before.
No.
There should never be a mechanism for it again. But in the meantime, this created chaos is being blamed on the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
You have these folks who are the ones funding and creating the chaos in the first place, working with Pueblos Sin Fronteras to move all of these people here by the thousands. And then they stand next to the people when they're dumped in the United States after they're very nicely let out of detention, because they could just keep them there. But they let them leave the detention facilities. And then they are standing next to those folks saying, This is despicable. Mm-hmm. You cannot do this to these people.
That's right.
You need to give us some money so that we can take care of them. How dare you leave these people on the streets? You need to give us $25 million so that we can take care of them.
Exactly.
We will do the greatest job. While Patricia Cuomo's and Louis Monsivais's yell at the
detention center
CEO of Southwest Keys because damn him for making millions off of these people. They want a cut. They want in on the action. How do I get my cut? But see, I'm going to stand next to, I'm going to do this poverty porn. I'm going to stand next to these migrants who I really don't give a flip about. And ultimately, it doesn't really matter to me where they end up. Because, I mean, all of the people that they abandoned in Mexico, all the people that they've been abandoning all over the place throughout Mexico and in the United States, they don't have a platform on which to expose what's being done to them by these folks. So they know that they can get away with the crimes that they're doing. They know that they can get away with being unethical and doing all these things because these people are poor and in many cases extremely poorly educated and naive, very, very naive. They lack even the communication skills with which to express what is being done to them, the unfairness of it all, the outcome, the horrible, horrible outcomes for them and their families. And the worst part of it is, Duke, that all that this is going to do is feed the hatred that people already have, the animus that people already have, fuel the flame of racism that is already bitterly dividing this country. Because how are people in the United States not supposed to look upon the thousands of, I mean, I know we have people here in North Dakota and Minnesota that die every single year, that freeze to death. Homeless people that have nowhere to go, sometimes in the most horrible, sad ways, like the guy that froze in front of a church, you know?
Yeah.
And they have no place to go. How are people in every community where these folks end up, by the dozens, by the hundreds, by the thousands, and drain the resources of those communities, how are the people that are United States citizens, that are permanent residents living in this country, that are suffering, that don't have housing, that don't have food, how are they going to feel when they see themselves put at the back of the line while these people get to jump in the front of the line? Not very good.
No, not at all.
I'll tell you, I can just tell you, I'm a Mexican crossing lines. I've been watching what's happening in Mexico. People there are pissed. They do not like this. And here's the kicker. The folks that are with this caravan support network, the folks that are working with Bertie Gutierrez, Mark Lane, Mohammed El Nakib, Linda Sarsour, these folks are going to talk about how great, how brave, how wonderful, how kind the activists they work with are, the organizations they work with are, the actors from Hollywood they work with are. Well, all the rest of you racist, xenophobic, nationalistic, hateful people in this country stood on the wrong side of history. That is how they're going to portray their heroic work to exploit the caravan. And anybody that tries to stop them, anybody that asks about whether or not this is good for the sovereignty of the United States, for border security, for the security of people in this country, from people like gang members from MS-13, or the minute you utter a word to question why the folks that are running these organizations and funding Pueblos Sin Fronteras and helping this caravan come into this country and bring people in, sometimes by force, many times illegally. When you start asking about them, you are immediately silenced. You are immediately marginalized. You are immediately called a Trump supporter, a racist, whatever. I've been called everything in the book because I dared to investigate the same people, by the way, that I've been investigating and reporting on for over 2.5 years. That were connected to the protests at Standing Rock. I didn't change anything I was doing. And before all of this started, at the beginning of my reporting on the Standing Rock stuff, I was being called a left-wing nut. Mm-hmm. Can you people please make up your mind?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just reporting on the same information. I'm just bringing you the facts about what these people are actually doing. Whatever side of the spectrum you sit on, if you care about your country, if you care about border security, you can do both, by the way. You can also care about migrants. You can care about refugees. You can care about little children. You can care about separation of families. You can do all of it. You can be a patriot to your country and somebody that cares about America. And you can also care about immigrants and being kind to children and their families that are here. You can do all of those things together and not celebrate people who are doing it wrong, people who are doing it in a way that is unethical, that is dangerous, people who are doing it in a way that simply throws away money for optics, for them, for their agenda, for their political agenda, for their financial agenda, for their personal agenda, that in the end doesn't really do the thing they said it was gonna do. Because that to me is insulting. That to me is a waste of time and resource and money. And the people that really need it, if you want to help migrants and refugees, they're not getting it. They're not getting the help they need. There's plenty of people, millions of people already here. And it's just very frustrating to see that these people can hook, line, and sinker, pull all of these people in, millions of people in America, trick them, and get millions of dollars in the process. Here is the other pages Birdie is associated with. This is from her page called Medicina de Mujer, Medicine of a Woman, the women's medicine. And one of her posts is about how to sponsor trans and queer asylum seekers. Of course, you know, she was working with Pataya Queen, who is one of the people that has been accused in Mexican media by Mexican authorities of trafficking by people that are working with the queer community in Tijuana, like the people that I interviewed at the rehab facility for queer transgendered people called Jardín de las Mariposas, the butterfly garden, where they accused Pitaya Queen of trafficking children for sex in Mexico. People that they viewed getting sexually transmitted diseases from this sexual trafficking of these minors that Pitaya was bringing into the country from Central America. This is what people in Mexico have been saying and denouncing to the media and to the authorities in Mexico. Why do you think you haven't seen Pitaya for a while?
Yeah, it's true.
Why do you think? Because they know what she's doing. And Mexico is not going to be tolerated. She can tell you she's a freedom fighter all she wants here in the United States while she remains not locked behind bars for what she is accused of doing in Mexico. But I can tell you, people have provided me with evidence that she was using drugs with Caravan. We keep seeing that over and over again. Over and over and over and over. Inside shelters, etc., etc. So, here's another page that she is associated with. Article San Diego. Oh, this is an article from the San Diego Reader in which Birdie Gutierrez is quoted. The title of it is 50 Murders by the Border Patrol. I'll share the link in the comments to the show. They say, "We will not live in fear. We will get used to this." And it quotes Birdie right off the bat. "Even if you do something wrong, you should make it to jail alive," said Birdie, an organizer whose group, La Flor de la Resistencia, the Flower of Resistance, this is another group that she's part of, was represented among about 30 protesters who gathered in San Isidro on Saturday afternoon, November 12th, to march upon the border in a call for justice in what they say is a rash of unjustified killings. "Just counting back from 2010 to here, there have been 50 murders by the Border Patrol," said Gutierrez. "To date, no one has been held accountable for any of them, despite videos and witnesses in many cases. They need to change their policies on use of force. Shooting a child for throwing a rock is unjustifiable. They shot Jose Antonio Elena 10 times. He was only 15 years old. Gutierrez refers to 16-year-old Jose Antonio Elena Rodriguez, who was gunned down in a high-profile case in Arizona in 2012. We covered that story here on A Mexican Crossing Lines.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's contradictory for her to, on the one hand, use these deaths, use these very public things that happened as an activist, and then exploit the caravan that is being trafficked, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Interpol's looking into it, jointly with Homeland Security and Mexico. But I think if these two governments, plus Central American governments, these all these different countries are working with Interpol and with each other to investigate this group, they probably have some probable cause to be doing that.
I think so.
I would guess. I don't think people toss around those kinds of allegations lightly.
No, and also these people continue to do this stuff, and they've been doing it for a long time. I mean, you just showed an article that was December. These people exploit things. I mean, it's like the true organizer is not going to be out there in the middle of the march. I mean, the organizer is going to be hidden in the back. You're not even going to see the organizers. But these people have taken activists and organizers and meshed them together, and then there's front people that is everything's about them. Those are all the rules of organizing. Those are actually make it not organizing. So they're using the wrong words. You know, they're using the wrong fields. They're using the wrong titles. But, you know, they're the one I like that came out of these reports is instigators. You know, they're instigators is what they are. You know, so I totally believe that that's the direction this is going. That's what they're putting their feet into fully. That's what they're putting their resources into it because it's making bank. And they're getting a notoriety for it, too.
It reminds me of the people that went to Standing Rock and got in the photo op. And then they got arrested. Fake arrested, many of them.
Yeah.
And there was already a horde of lawyers waiting to defend them.
Mm-hmm.
But people like Kathleen Bennett, who were framed by the very people that were defended by the Water Protector Legal Collective, she got no help.
That's right.
They didn't want to help her. So, you know, you see them literally exploiting the deaths of migrants in their paintings, in their art pieces, in their protests, on their Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm.
In their posters, in their artwork. That is what it is. It is an exploitation. Because if you are not really, at the end of the day, you're not really helping these folks, but instead filling detention centers with their warm bodies while you tell them that you are their friend, while you tell them that this is their right. Their rights include sitting in a detention facility for a year or possibly longer because you think that they can get asylum, which you know they can't. I mean, it's insulting. It's insulting, and that's exactly why I want to expose these folks, because they're not doing it correctly. They're not doing it for the right reasons. They're doing it in a way that is destructive. They're doing it in a way that is disingenuous. And I expose how that exploits people and hurts these communities, not helps them. Here in the United States, the division that is going to be caused by the anger and the resentment that Americans feel when they see these folks taking in $400,000 a month in a community that has a bunch of homeless people.
Exactly.
That is going to pull us further and further apart. And what for? What is it all for? This division that is going to be sown, this anger and this resentment. What's it for? It is so that these people can pat themselves back on the back, call themselves hero, and take their big slice of pie while they get their human rights award.
Because
that's how they like to get their money.
Yeah.
They need to get a pat on the back for being capitalist, imperialist vultures and stealing and exploiting from our resources for their own personal gain. And they want to do it while they get a human rights award and are told, you're a good person.
Yeah.
A lot of these people come from the elite and the wealthy. A lot of these people, I'm going to keep repeating that too, because it needs to be said. And they like to point at Republicans, and they want like to point at independents. They like to point at people on the other side and go, we are part of the 99% and you're part of the 1%. It's like, no, you're part of the 1% too. Here is another thing that she is part of. So we know now she's part of La Flor de la Resistencia. This is from her page, La Flor de la Resistencia. This is a post that she's talking about how the TPS holders, temporary provision, filed a class action lawsuit seeking to stop the unlawful termination of TPS for over 100,000 TPS holders from Honduras and Nepal and preventing the separations of tens of thousands of U.S. citizen children from the TPS holders' parents. The suit was filed in the United States District Court for the Northern District of California. TPS to residency now. And that is from medium.com. The headline there, TPS holders from Honduras and Nepal sue the Trump administration. Look at all these lawsuits.
Yeah.
They report on all of them. They're suing Trump. They're suing Trump. They're suing Trump. They're suing Trump. And they're adjacent to those that are suing Trump. And they're working with those that are suing Trump. And they're going to have a lot of suits, lots of lawsuits.
Yep.
Probably none of them will win, but that doesn't mean they're not going to sue. And you also have her handmade jewelry by Birdie. Why are so many of these people jewelry salesmen and actresses, D-list actors? Like Maya Rose, remember her jewelry thing? There's so many of these people that had jewelry. Even Bill Running Fisher had a jewelry thing. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Handmade jewelry by Birdie. Check it out. Here's her page. Circus Dreams. Yeah, that's more an appropriate name for her organization. Circus Dreams. Because it is a circus of, and it's a pipe dreams. Circus of pipe dreams. That's what that's what y'all should call your organization. A circus of pipe dreams. You're just missing one word. I helped you out. Here's another one from her handmade page. This is the story of how they got their start over there at the Birdie's homemade jewelry. The Circus of Dreams. And it says, you're looking for one-of-a-kind unique handmade gifts. Please take a look at the handmade jewelry. I also ship anywhere in the U.S. I'm now accepting appointments to purchase my unique handmade jewelry. Thank you so much for supporting my passion of creating jewelry and serving others. Most of the proceeds go toward helping our most vulnerable members in our community here and across the border. By purchasing my jewelry, you are helping me help others.
So if you
buy her jewelry, you're helping a migrant. Oh,
yeah.
That is a brilliant marketing strategy. I have to give it to her. That's the only way that Adam Elfers can sell his music too, because it's horrible.
Exactly.
That's how a lot of these people have to market the crap that they make or the things that they're selling, including their books and their music, because it's no good. But if you get one now, if you get a t-shirt, if you get a hat, if you get some jewelry, if you get a tattoo, you help a migrant or a water protector.
That's right.
Man, the scam is the same, but the day is new.
Exactly.
And we're going to keep bringing you the information about what these scammers are doing at the border with the caravan on our next show here on A Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Thank you so much for being with us, and good night.